A little statement I want to make to this congregation. Mere words cannot express my gratitude and my appreciation to Brother Fortner at this church for putting our commentaries back in print. Back in the late 70s and early 80s, these commentaries were proposed and printed by Evangelical Press in England under the leadership of Brother Bill Clark. And since Brother Bill was called away in 1998, I believe, 10 years ago, Evangelical Press chose not to continue reprinting these commentaries. But Brother Don Fortner thought otherwise. And he asked Evangelical Press for the copyright of these commentaries and Old Testament pictures and Gospel of John. And they gave it to him. And I thank him, and I thank you, and I thank so many of you who took part in this project. I think they're beautiful, the books are. They're well done. I think some of the best printing I've seen is just outstanding. And I thank your faithful pastor. I thank him for his missionary zeal and his spirit and your spirit and desire to make the Savior known. One verse of scripture that I think fits this situation. Our Lord said, a good tree will bring forth good fruit. And that's what this church and this pastor is. It's a good tree. It brings forth good fruit. To make the Savior known. That's his desire. We pray much for him. I thank you so much for what you've done. And actually, let me just add this. When I resigned at 13th Street and left that pastorate and that church, there was something like 3,000 tapes that we had used and sent abroad, and there were 300 television broadcasts, and then all these books. And when I left, it just shut down, and the books weren't published, and the tapes weren't sent out, and the television program was not continued. But Brother Tom Harding, pastor of Zebulun Baptist Church, like Brother Don Fortner, thought otherwise. And he asked 13th Street Church and the leaders for my tapes. And they gave them to him. And Brother Dwayne Imes and Dr. Harry's in Todd's Road Church asked for the tapes, all 300 of them, and they gave them to him. And your pastor asked for the commentaries and the books, and they gave him permission. So the Lord, in mercy and grace, has continued my ministry through Brother Fortner and Brother Don. Brother Don and Brother Tom and these men at Brother Todd and these men in Todd's Road Church. And I'm grateful. I'm thankful. A little blue at first, you know, when things just were wiped out and forgotten and not going to be used anymore. But I'm grateful. Grateful. All right. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Now you know this, and I know this, that two words, your pastor said this so many times, and I think Spurgeon's one of the first ones that preached on this. There are two words that actually sum up the gospel and sum up the good news of Christ our Lord. You know what they are? Substitution and satisfaction. Those are the two words. Or you might say just and justifier, but the substitution and satisfaction. And this is what Isaiah said. Said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's substitution. And then he said, Isaiah said, and by his stripes we're healed. That's satisfaction. Substitution and satisfaction. But now listen, this is what I want you to see this morning. It was not only on the cross that our Lord was our substitute. It wasn't only on the cross that our Lord Jesus Christ was our substitute who accomplished full satisfaction before God for our transgression. Our Lord Jesus Christ was our substitute in the manger, on the cross, and in glory right now. Actually, I'll go back further than that. I'll go back before the foundation of the world, and I say, in the garden, he was our substitute. Woman's sin. Also, in Egypt, he was our substitute, the Passover lamb. And also, in Bethlehem, Emmanuel, God with us. Also on the cross, our substitute and our ransom and our redeemer. On a cross, lifted high, went a man forth to die. And the arm of the Lord was revealed. All others are marred. By sin they're scarred. But by his stripes we're healed. Substitution and satisfaction. Let's see if I can make good on this. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 1. And he says right here in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. As his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, my son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's my subject. Call his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. I'm going to keep saying that through this message. Call his name Jesus. That's the title of this message. For he shall save his people from their sins. Call his name Jesus. All right, we'll run through a few verses now. Ask you to turn with me first to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse 4 through 7. Luke chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. And Joseph, Luke 2, 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and lineage of David. Joseph and Mary were of the house and lineage of King David. Joseph and Mary were heirs to the throne. And they came to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. no room for them. Joseph and Mary, heirs of the throne of David, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, the desire of all nations, no room for them. No room for them. The scripture says he was in the world. The world was made by him. They didn't know him. Scripture says he came to his own nation, his own people. They received him not. What is this? What is this? Jesus Christ came into the world unwanted, unrecognized, unwelcome, an outcast. He couldn't be born in Bethlehem. And when he died, he couldn't be crucified in the city of Jerusalem. But he was an outcast. An outcast. That's what he is. No room for him. An outcast. And I asked why. Well, I'll tell you why. Because he was our substitute. That's what I'm talking about. He was our substitute. We're outcasts. We're one with him. He's one with us. Adam and all his posterity were cast out of the garden and not allowed to enter because by one man sin entered this world and death by sin, so death passed on all of us. And Christ was one with us, our substitute. You know what the Lord said about Adam and his posterity? God drove out the man out of the garden, and God placed at the east of Eden a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Christ was not permitted to be born in Bethlehem. He's an outcast. Christ was not allowed to die on Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, he had to die outside the camp. Let me show you that in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Watch this now. Wherefore Jesus, call his name Jesus. Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. No room for him. An outcast. Unwanted, unwelcome, unrecognized. Why? He's our substitute. Taking our place. Now watch this. Turn with me now to Matthew 1 again. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Matthew 1, verse 21. Matthew 1, 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, of the Lord by his prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bring forth a son, and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now the angel said, call his name Jesus. God said, call his name Emmanuel. The prophet Isaiah said, his name's wonderful. His name's Counselor. His name's the Mighty God. His name's the Everlasting Father. His name is the Prince of Peace. What meaneth this Jesus business? Call his name Jesus, because he's an outcast, because he's a man, he's the Son of Man, he's a substitute, he's bearing the sins of his people. This Jesus is his name of humanity. This Jesus is his name of humiliation. This Jesus is his name of flesh and blood. Turn to Hebrews 2, and let me show you that. Hebrews chapter 2, call his name Jesus. God called his name Emmanuel, God with us. Hebrews chapter 2, listen to verse 16. For verily, For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels. He took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful, faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. Those who knew him called him Master. Those who knew him called him Lord. If you'll go through your concordance, you'll find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the disciples, never spoke to our Lord and called his name Jesus. They called him Master. They called him Lord. Old A.W. Pink wrote a whole book on this. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. The Lordship. The disciples always called him Lord. And he said to them one day, you call me Master and Lord. You say well. So I am. Call his name Jesus. He came to earth born of a woman. He came from the womb of a mother. That's Jesus. Call his name Jesus. He lay in a manger. An outcast. In a stable. He nursed the breath of a woman. Just like you and I. Call his name Jesus. He was subject to his parents. He worked in a carpenter shop. Call his name Jesus. He walked the earth as a man. He increased. Reach and get a hold of this. He increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Explain that, preacher. Couldn't do it to save my life. I just know he was a man. Call his name Jesus. Call his name Jesus. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. When he was thirsty, he asked somebody to get him a drink of water. That's Jesus. When he was weary, Jesus, being wearied with his journey, sat down to rest. When he bore our sins, suffered in our place, he died. No man can call him Lord but by the Holy Ghost. But those who have the Holy Ghost call him Lord. Master, wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God. That's right. Call his name Jesus because he's a man in every sense of the word, as if he wasn't God. But he is God. Let's try this on for size. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This is substitution. This is substitution. He took our place and gave us his. Luke chapter 2 verse 20. Listen to this. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. Luke 2:20. For all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child. I don't know anything about this. I just know it. It's something about the blood and the other things. When the child was circumcised, it was 8 days in that time. That's what. When 8 days were accomplished, this man, child, this man Jesus, they circumcised him. They say his name was called Jesus when they circumcised him, which was so named of the angels before he was conceived in the womb. Now, wait a minute. Can you explain this, preacher? Jesus, the Son of God, is circumcised. Circumcision belongs to the sons of Abraham. Turn to Genesis 17. Genesis chapter 17, verse 9. Listen to this. Genesis 17, verse 9. Circumcision belongs to the sons of Abraham. In Genesis 17, verse 9, it says here that God said to Abraham, Genesis 17, 9, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. And this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee, every man child, every one of them among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. But Christ Jesus, no sooner was he born than he shed his blood, he was circumcised. Circumcision belongs to the sons of Abraham. He's the Son of God, but he became our substitute. Circumcision refers to the covenant of mercy. He didn't need any mercy, but I did. Circumcision refers to guilt. He's not guilty. He's immaculately holy. He took our guilt. Circumcision refers to cleansing. Well, he didn't need any cleansing. He did on our behalf. Though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. My substitute. As his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and listened to those fellows. But that's his custom. As his custom was, he kept the Passover every year. Finally, with his disciples, he said, "This is the end. This is the last Passover. I'm going to keep it with you. I always do those things that please my Father because he's our substitute." All right, no room for him. Call his name Jesus. Emmanuel? No, Jesus. His blood was shed in circumcision. Now, turn to Matthew 3 and watch this. Matthew chapter 3. You talk about substitution. Matthew 3, verse 13. Listen to this. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized of John. Jesus, here the Son of God standing in a river to be baptized as a sinner. That's right, preacher. Only sinners are baptized. You don't baptize a man who's not a sinner. Baptism is the baptism of repentance. Baptism says, "I justify God in his charges against me." Baptism says, "I must die. Put down beneath the water, but be raised again." Why? Read on. Verse 14. But John forbade him. Naturally, he would. You would too. "Why, Lord, I have need to be baptized of thee. You come to me to be baptized?" And Jesus answering said to him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That's what he's doing. Our substitute, fulfilling all righteousness. And then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Never been a man on this earth, God said that about, "in whom I'm well pleased," only him. And he in our place. To fulfill all righteousness. All of it. And I want you to turn to the book of Jeremiah. Man, in Jeremiah chapter 23. I want you to watch this. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 and 6. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. "In those days, in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Who is that? That's Christ. It tells you that in the verse before, verse 5. The days come, saith the Lord, I raise up unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. That's the Lord our righteousness. But now turn to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. And almost the identical same words are used except one word. Jeremiah 33 verse 15. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby what? She. In that other verse, we were talking about Christ. In this verse, we're talking about his people, the church. She shall be called in the same name, the Lord of righteousness. That's what we are in him. That's what he said right here in Matthew, suffer it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness. Substitution. All right, Luke 22. Turn to this scripture, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Luke 22, verse 39. And he came out, Luke 22:39, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup of agony, this cup of suffering. Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed. Let me say something right here. We talked about our Lord being born of a woman, called his name Jesus, and an outcast, couldn't be born in Bethlehem, unwanted, unrecognized. And then our Lord Jesus Christ, they called his name Jesus when he was circumcised, shed his blood. And then our Lord came to the baptism of John and submitted to the baptism of John. Now he's gone to the garden. And somebody said, and at that time, all the sins of all the elect of all ages were laid on him. And he's about to be crushed under the full judgment of God Almighty. And the guilt and the blame and the shame and the iniquity of all his people plunged his soul into such agony. What happened? Verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. He was made sin for us, literally, actually, bore our sins in his body on that tree, that we might be actually made the righteousness of God in him. That's substitution. That's as plain as I can make substitution. Because that's what it is. Substitution. Now, turn to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 33. Matthew 27, verse 33. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them and did, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they washed him there. Just about every Jew in all the nations was there, because this was the big Passover days. And they crucified our Lord, our Passover was crucified for us. And you can't imagine the people that were there. And they would sat down and watched him. Well, as I thought about this scripture, they were sitting around there watching him die. There were three crosses there, and there were three men supposed to be crucified. Three men were sentenced to be crucified. But back here before this, Pilate was on his throne of judgment. And he said to the people, now it's customary to release unto you a prisoner at this season. There were three thieves and three crosses. It's customary that I release one to you. Whom you want me to release? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? The people screamed, Barabbas! Barabbas! They took up the thief. Barabbas! Barabbas! Give us Barabbas! Well, Barabbas was down in the dungeon. He wasn't up there. He was down in a dungeon with chains on his hands and on his feet, sitting there on a bench waiting to be crucified. And he didn't hear Pilate, but he could hear those people screaming, Barabbas, Barabbas, give us Barabbas. They took up the note, Barabbas. And he just shook, sitting there shaking. And then old Pilate said, well, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They started again. Let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. Barabbas heard that. Let him be crucified. Give us Barabbas. Let him be crucified. Well, time went over and the Lord Jesus was nailed to that cross. The man read the sign. And Barabbas, the guard came down. And Barabbas, I just imagined as I thought about this, that he cringed over in the corner just as far as he could get away from those guards. And they came up and grabbed him by the arm and had him stand up. Took his chains off of him, off his feet, off his arms. Started leading him, dragging him up those steps. Dragging him up those steps. Finally, Barabbas, between two guards, stepped into the light. That bright sunlight. And when he did, one of the guards said to him, Barabbas, you're free. You're free. Free to go. I thought they said, give us Barabbas, let him be crucified. No. See over there on that cross? On your cross is a man called Jesus. He's taking your place. And you're free to go. Where do you reckon Barabbas went? I believe he circled that crowd and got right there as far as he could get away from that cross, but near enough to see what was going on. And he went through his mind. Barabbas, Jesus of Nazareth is taking my place, dying on my cross. He took my place. But I don't know what happened to Barabbas. But, you know, he might have come to know the Savior. But I did. I saw that same scene in my heart and mind. Let him be crucified. And he was crucified in my place. And in my stead. That is substitution. I'd like for you to sing in closing this morning the song, Jesus Paid It All. All the debt I owe, sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. What number is that?
125.
125. Jesus paid it all.